Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
Our world feels like it's spinning out of control. I want to emphasize the word feels. We believe in a God that is sovereign, that is working things to his end and his good. If we do not, then our world is crazy, and we have nothing to hope for if we don't have a God who is working. In just the last month, we've watched headlines filled with tragedy from school shootings, and I actually looked up school shootings. More than I could imagine. A woman stabbed to death on public transportation in our state, Charlotte. And even the shocking assassination of Charlie Kirk. And the last two were so public that videos sped across the internet for the world to see. And you may be looking at me and go, what are you talking about, a stabbing in Charlotte? Let me just tell you, if you're a younger generation and if you have social media like TikTok and Instagram and Twitter, you're seeing this full bore. You're seeing this without cutaways. You're seeing this without a pause in what happened. You're seeing with all the gory details. And our younger generation is being broken open about this stuff. And it's so divided on all sides. And the craziness that you would see out there, that people celebrating the death of this man, celebrating that it's a victory on their end. And let me just tell you, like, I'm not here to talk about politics or be like, you should be right or you should be left. I don't really care. I don't. Now, I care about some things that sides care about, but I care about people. And so even if Charlie Kirk wasn't a believer, which he was, a very strong believer. If you watched any of his stuff, he has no problem talking about Jesus with education. Not just like, oh, love Jesus and everything's good. I'm talking about to detail a lot of his videos. And if the one video I saw was true, literally right before he got shot, he was talking about the Bible. Because a lot of that is defending, because when you're talking about morals, you have to have an anchor for morals. You have to have something that you're springing from. We can't just go, well, this is good and this is bad without something telling us what is good and what is bad. And here we are, watching more violence, more chaos, and more confusion. And I wish I could stand here today. I wish God would have downloaded it to me and I could stand here today and tell you this is exactly why that young lady was stabbed to death. This is what God's doing. This is why he allowed it to happen. This is why Charlie Kirk was allowed to be assassinated. But I have no idea. But here's what I do know. I do know that God is still good. I do know that he is still in control. And I do know that he is working all things, even the things that we don't understand. And this comes to us personal. And this is where today's text is going to hopefully anchor us to something outside of ourselves. Even when we don't understand it, that God is working these things for his glory. Amen. But that raises a hard question. How do we keep moving forward without losing heart in a world like this? Because this is real easy. It is real easy to be like, I ain't going outside anymore. It is real easy. Let me just tell you this. It is real easy to hate the other side and be just like someone who killed somebody over something they thought or believed. Real easy. Let me just tell you, Jesus doesn't do that. You know, because all those people that are hating or celebrating on the death of this man, regardless of how much they've been hurt, those people were created in the image of God to know him. And if we hate, if we get on our little soapbox and say anything other than what Jesus can do, Because the other side will do, the far right will come out and be like, well, we need to be like angry and violent too. And that is not the answer. How do we not give into fear and despair and bitterness? That's where today's text helps. And what the kind of fun part is, not fun, but my intention to preach out of today's text was there before all of this happened. I love it when God does that. In today's text, we're going to step in to a conversation that Paul was having in 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to read a little bit of 4. I didn't even intend to read. I'm going to read more of 4 than I intended. That's why my Bible's up here. I have text on my pages, but I'm going to read a little bit more because I think it helps set up 5. The way that we endure this is by fixing our eyes on eternity. This world is temporary. The shell that you live in is temporary. The things that you cling to and hold on to are temporary. The things that you're building your life and spending your time on are temporary. There is one thing that is eternal, and that is the souls of every single person that you interact with, even far from where you are politically, far from where you are morally. There's only one thing that matters. The only one thing that lasts for eternity is the souls of man. And they will exist in two realms when we leave this shell, heaven or hell. And I'm grateful that our ticket to heaven is not based on me. It is not based on you. It is not based on your works. It is based on one thing. You identifying with the right source. Putting your hope and your future on the work of a man that did it right. And just in case you're confused, that's Jesus. Our hope is eternal. Our home is eternal. Not this. Not North Palm, where I live. Not anywhere else, but our home with our Savior is eternal. And you know what else is eternal? Our mission. Until this world ends and He makes everything right, our mission will not end. And not to plug, and we can have all of our church go to it. I'm all right with it because we've got a lot. I think we've got 30 plus people that are coming tomorrow night for Kingdom Conversations. We need people to hear the gospel in a way that they respond so that they and set their attention on eternity. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I pray that you would make straight all the chaos that's going on in my brain right now. All the things that I want to say, all the things that I've written on my paper to say. I pray that you would bring in, that you would lace it with your grace, that you would lace it with your truth, that we would hear your word revealed to us. And that we would respond not out of guilt or shame, but we would respond out of a message that reaches our hearts and changes us. And Lord, I pray for those in this room right now that are angry and bitter and rage is on the forefront of their mind, or that you would bring peace. What seems like counter or the opposite, but you would bring boldness for the right thing. So Lord, speak today through your word. Love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to be in the first 10 verses of 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. But I'm going to read a section of 4. I have 16, 17, and 18 on my paper, but I want to set this up. I was going to talk about it but I just want to read it. Because it sets up what we're going to in 5. So I'm going to read 7 through 12. Then I'm going to skip down to 16 and read through 18. And we're going to get into the verses. My eyesight is not as great as it used to be, so I'm holding it in the light. Yeah, I know. Not yet, bro. My font size gets bigger. I'm not ready to put those glasses on yet. But one day, it's coming. Okay, verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure. What is that treasure?
Jesus.
Jesus. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Jars of clay were not meant. The jars of clay in the day that this was written, I'm going to make a comparison, is like your plastic bag. It wasn't meant to be kept. You know, the ceremonial law, if it got dirty or something touched it, you would break it and throw it away. It would not be something that you're going to keep forever, just like you're not going to keep the bodies that you call your own. Regardless of how many vitamins you take, regardless of how great your regimen is for workout or whatever, it is on the decline. In jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Temporary. Charlie Kirk, I'm not God, I don't know, but from what I've heard of him and his testimony, isn't suffering anymore, and his assassination was quick. The most gut-wrenching part of that is that his wife and his two little kids were sitting on the front row and watched it happen. His four-year-old heard the noise and went towards her dad because he was the security. Yeah. All because someone didn't like what he said. Let me just tell you, church, at some point, maybe in our history, we may be on that same crosshairs because of what we believe. And we've got to decide that our belief in eternity is greater than our security here. Amen. And I mean, I think about my son lived in Charlotte, and I'm sure rode on that train, lived real near it. Did ride on it a few times, but then I have a daughter that lives, she was here this weekend, but she's in Raleigh and going around, and it, like, I can't even think about it. Like, the thought that someone could do something to one of my children. So I can only think about Kirk's parents. If they're alive, I don't know anything about his parents. I couldn't imagine yet. But here's what it's even harder to imagine. It's harder to imagine the reality that he didn't have a future in eternity. It should be what drives us to learn the gospel effectiveness so we can communicate it to other people. Because there's a sadness for his wife and his children that they will have to live with and in, but there's a hope for a future with him. Jars of clay. Verse 16 in chapter 4. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, and our inner self is being renewed day by day. If you don't renew that inner self, it will waste away like the outer self. And the older we get, the more aware we are of our outer shell wasting away, the new pains that you experience. My great eyesight until 4 years ago didn't meet I thought. And then one day, and this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. We don't lose heart because our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for the eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. This pain that you are experiencing, this turmoil that you are experiencing, is preparing you for eternity because it shakes you. We can get so comfortable in what's happening in our life that we forget what's happening in eternity because we think this is it. We don't say that, but we live like it's all that matters. Verse 18, as we look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen, this is what we're doing as we look into eternity. For the things that are seen are transient, But the things that are unseen are eternal. So we're going to jump in to chapter 5, and I'm going to make sense of, if you've read this recently, there's some things in there that if you just read through it, you're like, unclothed, clothed, more clothed. Well, I'm confused, and I'm going to try to make as much clarity out of this because I think this whole section is saying keep your eyes on eternity. Let me just tell you, church, if you don't have your eyes set on eternity, you will waste precious time here. Verse 1, chapter 5. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, that's what happened to Charlie Kirk, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven, in the heavens. The tent is our frail, temporary body. Death is not the end, but the taking down of the tent. Believers look forward to a permanent house in heaven. Remember, Paul was a tent maker. He was familiar with, you know, that's the beauty of being a tent maker. You know what happens to tents? You ever had something outside over time? I just picked up a ladder that was outside, made of fiberglass. You know what that fiberglass did? Because it's been sitting in the sun. It, like, dug into me. Like, I have it. Every time I sleep, it's touching it. You know why? Because it's breaking down. Same thing with these tents that Paul made for his ministry that he's been saying over and over again. I didn't burden you because I kept his... He was building tents because tents are something that's going to have to be replaced or fixed or repaired over and over again. Don't lose sight of eternity. All this will not go with us, so don't cling so tightly that you miss out on the greater. I have several quotes. I'm just going to call them Tripp from this point on. Paul David Tripp, he has this book called Do You Believe? And if you're looking for something that's a little bit deeper, a little bit more thick theologically, it's 12 essential doctrines, but the last chapter of his is eternity. So I've got several quotes from him related to this, and it's great because he talks about why we believe in eternity, why we think we have access to eternity, and then he spends a whole chapter telling you why this matters. And you need to know that when you read the Bible. Why does this matter to me? Not just do I understand it, but why does it matter? So he said, for most of us, the problem is not that we intentionally deny that there is truth, but rather that we, in the busyness of life, we live thoughtlessly. We just live. Like, not many people wake up in the morning going, I'm living for this present day, and I'm going to exclude the Father and eternity from my day. You don't do that. I mean, if you do that, you got bigger issues. But most of us aren't waking up going, I'm going to ignore the Father today. We just let life happen to us. And people demand, and emails come in, and texts come in, and late projects, and all these things are happening, and you have to focus on the now. We just live thoughtlessly. We have to be intentional. Eternity is not going to be changed in our mindset unless we tell ourselves every day that my home is not here. Verse 2, for in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. A little confusing. I'm going to explain it to the best of my ability. The groaning is not despair, like, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. It's not Chicken Little. The groaning is a yearning for completeness, a yearning for the promises that God has spoken to us through His Word. Believers groan because they experience suffering, decay, and sin, yet hope for the incorruptible body. You, regardless of how pure and holy you live, will experience some or all of these. No matter how much you read and how much you pray and how much you give your life over, your body is going to decay and die one day. We cannot, there's no deal or equation that we have with God. That may be easier, it may be shorter, maybe longer, but that isn't always by what we do. Really, it's not what we do. It's His time. As Christians, we live in the tension of the already and not yet. We have Christ and His now promises of salvation, yet we long for heaven and the casting off of this sin-filled world and body. And I don't know about you, if you're aware of your own sin nature and your own struggles, there is so much of me that I wish I could cast it off. I wish I never had ever an impure, angry, frustrated thought. And I want that. I desire that. But you know what happens? You think they go away just because I don't want them? No, because God allows a world that we live in to bring us the opportunity. Are we going to be patient? Are we going to be kind? Are we going to think these thoughts just because we're bombarded by images and other things? Are we going to choose something better? We who have put our trust in Jesus will be presented to the Father, not naked and ashamed, but rather wearing the righteousness of His Son. You won't stand before the Father and get greeted with warm welcomes because of these good things that you've done here. Because if that's your hope and if that's your thought, Isaiah, which you're in, if you're the one-year Bible, you're going to get to it. I think it's 64:6. It's coming up real soon. Our greatest works of righteousness are but polluted garments. Your best day is garbage before the Father. We aren't going to stand there and go, look at what I did. So if you join this group tomorrow and hundreds of people get saved because of your words and your ministries, you will not present that to the Father and say, you owe me. Look at what I've done. I get this tent. I get to be clothed. You're not clothing yourself. If your hope in the resurrection, in eternity, is that you will be clothed by your works, you will be at the wrong party. And you'll be invited somewhere else, because that is not what allows you to stand before the Father. That is not what clothes you before. This is what He's talking about. We want this to be gone, but we don't want to show up naked. And being naked before the Father is hoping just in our goodness, in our works, to please the Father. Look at this in Galatians 3:27. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. Or 2 Corinthians 5, a little bit longer, further on than we're at today. So this is coming up in verse 21. For our sake, He made Him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, perfect, blameless, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. We get to stand for eternity before the Father, righteous, not because of our work, but because of His work. And what does that trend? How does that transaction work? You put your hope and trust in Jesus. And I think the hardest thing that you will do living in the South, at least my opinion, is that you will try to work your way to heaven. Some of you are doing it right now. Some of you are thinking good thoughts about yourself because of these other crazy people. I'm not like them. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. One sin, one thing has separated you from the Father. One, it is not a graduating scale where this, I'm better than 80% of the world. The truth is that 100% of the world is guaranteed one journey straight to hell. That's our promise. The moment we're born, that's where we're going until the Father intervenes. Because we don't deserve anything else. And you're like, what are you talking about? I'm a pretty good person. Pretty good people end up in hell all the time. Actually, better people, I won't even mention peoples, like groups of people. The nicest people you have ever met will miss eternity because they've banked on the wrong Jesus. Or the wrong Savior. It doesn't matter how good you are, how many people and mission trips you go on, none of that in the scale of eternity for you matters. It matters what we do here, which we're going to talk about. One of the last verses in this should scare us also. Without the work of Christ, you will be standing naked before the Father. And so the question this morning is, what are you wearing? If you, when you think of eternity, what are you presenting yourself before the Father with? If it's anything other than your trust and belief in His Son, you're going to miss out. Verse 4. For while we were still in this tent, we groaned, being burdened. We are burdened right now. You are burdened. In this world, in the every moment we live in it, there'll be a new burden. There'll be another Charlie Kirk. There'll be another senseless death. On either side of the political spectrum, a senseless, senseless death. It will be rocked with the burden of why is our world like this? Why doesn't it change? And let me just tell you this, there is no policy that will fix the heart of man. And I'm for policies, I'm for things, but those things will not change the heart of man. So I'd much rather us fight for eternity as it relates to the gospel than fight for some political standard that will not be upheld without a heart that follows the truth. Tripp says the weight of life's burdens presses us to see eternity as home. Because that frustration will constantly be like, this place is driving me crazy, and you'll be looking for something else. God designed life's frustrations to wean us off false hope. Life is full of burdens, pressures, pains, and suffering. Look at the state of our country. Look at all these things that are happening. I honestly cannot stand Twitter. The unfiltered mess that it is. I don't have TikTok. I've never had TikTok. I think TikTok is in the same Twitter vein because it is a unfiltered, not to say other ones are better, but they keep things out. When this happened on Twitter, it was because it's happening. My daughter texts me. I didn't know anything about this. And she was like, Charlie Kirk got shot. And I was like, is he alive or dead? And she had already seen the video. She's like, based on what I saw in the video, like, he did not survive that shot. And so what did I do? I went to Twitter. And my Twitter feed was filled with angle after angle after angle. This is why I don't have Twitter on my phone. This is why I use Twitter for this little side. I make logos for this fitness group that I do, and I communicate with people on that. And I don't go on it. I check it like once or twice a week, and I don't ever scroll, because every time I scroll on Twitter, I get angry. And not a righteous anger where I'm going to bring the Lord in. And I get angry. I'm just like, oh, these people. I feel like if you're reading Isaiah right now, I feel like, come on, buddy, like bring the pain and punishment and all these people that are far from God. That's what I feel when I get on Twitter, and I don't think God wants me to feel that. I think it's all right for Isaiah, because Isaiah was hearing from the Lord. I'm not hearing from the Lord when I'm on Twitter. I'm hearing from that flesh. And so I'd encourage you, if those things, you are being influenced by what you watch and listen to. And if you're on services that are making you angry and not leading to righteous life, then get rid of them. Okay, where am I? For real? Okay, there we go. Okay. For when we lose this tent, we lose what is temporary and we gain what is eternal. We can't lose sight of that. Further clothed, Warren Wiersbe is another commentary to read. Paul, this is his words, Paul is not expressing a death wish when he's saying these things. He's not like going, oh, I wish I was dead. And he's going to say some more things in the same vein. He doesn't want to leave the body behind forever, but to exchange mortality for immortality. Further clothed means receiving the glorified bodies at resurrections, not a ghostly, you know, like loincloth and a harp sitting on a cloud. But we will have bodies that resemble these, but without sin, without the destruction, without corruption. Verse 5. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. God is working all things to His glory and your good. Listen to this out of John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus told them some troubling things. I'm leaving. I'm going away. Let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. It feels like, well, he's been gone a long time. Isn't that house done? And let me tell you, every time I feel the urgency for Christ to return and remedy this, I think of every person that I care about that I know that doesn't know Jesus. Because I think our ability to choose is eliminated when he returns. Every knee will bow. But when there's a line, I don't know where that is. There's a line that when he returns that we lose our opportunity. We may still bow, but we won't bow out of reverence and love for him. We'll bow out of disgrace and shame. And so as much as I want the Father to return and set things in place, there's people that I want to know him so that they're with me. And this idea of he gives us his Spirit as a guarantee. For all those that are afraid of the Holy Spirit, stop. I mean, I'd be afraid of the weird stuff, because there is some weird stuff. Most of that's manufactured by people. But the Spirit is our guarantee, the Holy Spirit that God gives us. It's our working access that we have living inside of us. It's what gives us the ability to connect and continue with the Father. But listen to this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed on him. So when you get saved, when you say yes to Jesus, what happens? We were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. That same promise that John was talking about in John 14, 15, 16, 17. Who were sealed by the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Our seal, like what's working inside of us? Every time I have someone who's struggling with something and they come to me and they're like, I'm struggling. Like, I don't want this tension. I'm not saying I'm correct in this thought, but I believe that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit wasn't there, you'd be like, what am I doing is wrong? Like, what did I do? What I think that tension that we feel inside of us when we aren't living to the pattern that God has called us to is the Holy Spirit calling us back to what matters, calling us back to the place that we need to be. Verse 6, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we were at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not sight. Faith gives us courage to walk through this crazy world while we are absent from the Lord. Not absent like He is away, but we are not in His presence. He is preparing for us, and He's given us this power living inside of us, the Holy Spirit. Faith bridges the gap between present suffering and future glory. You have to have faith. If you don't have faith, then you'll look at scenarios like the incidents like it happened this last week and go, what's going on? I have faith that God is working things to His end and our good. Tripp says it like this. Sight tells us that life is messy. Real easy to look around and go, this world is messy. But faith reminds us eternity is secure. Sometimes chaos confuses us, it makes us insecure. If you live only by sight, despair is inevitable. Faith keeps eternity in view over and over again. It has to be something that you remind yourself. Verse 8. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and home of the Lord. Paul is not saying, hey, I'm planning to end my life here. It's a longing, it's a groaning that he has, that he wants that, to be with the Father. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. If our eyes are set on eternity, we are continually reminded that our future with Christ is secure. That assurance keeps us from losing sight of the mission he has entrusted to his children. Go into all the world and make disciples. That is our mission. And I said this last week or the week before last, I can't remember. But if you're thinking that is God's mission to God's paid workers alone, you are wrong. If you say yes to Jesus, and you need to know this, before you enter into this eternity with him, if you say yes to Jesus, you're saying yes to the mission that he has placed on all his believers. Go into all the world and make disciples. Paul is not expressing a desire to hasten death so that he can be with the Lord. Rather, he is reminding himself and us why he continues to strive in the present, to live faithfully on mission until the day God calls him home. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Warren Wiersbe says this, is the judgment seat, when it's referring to that, that's the bema seat. And it would remind the Corinthians, remember we talked about in 1 Corinthians, there was a games that was going on there, like our Olympics that happened on the regular. It would remind them of those games where athletes were evaluated and rewarded. Paul uses this image to show believers will be evaluated for how we ran the race of life. This isn't a courtroom of condemnation, but a throne of reward. For us to stand before the Father, we have to have the right outfit on. And for those that have ever read through the Gospels, and there's this wedding feast parable that Jesus talks about, and if you've ever been confused about, they just start welcoming all these people into the celebration, but then there's this one guy that's not wearing the right outfit. You might be like, their wedding clothes, there's garments that you had to wear to be like, I'm participating in this. And it's the same idea here. Is that when we stand before the Father, we need to be wearing the right clothes. And I don't mean like special garments that you can go purchase in our store, which we don't have. We won't have either when we have our new building. All right. They're not special clothes, but it is the righteousness of Christ that we are wearing. Paul uses these images to show believers will be evaluated by how they ran their race. Every careless word, everything you do, we will be judged for. And he's not talking about salvation here. He's talking about our reward. You're like, well, I'm not doing this for reward. Yes, you are. But you need to do it for the right reward. You're doing things all the time. You act a certain way at work for rewards. You act a certain way before people that you want to impress for a reward. We're not saying like I'm ready for my ribbon to them, but you're doing the same thing, and it's the same way here, but we do it for eternity. The things that matter, all the rewards that we will get in heaven will be worth it. Because that'll mean people heard and experienced the gospel because of you. And this is why our life is important to the end. And some of you may be thinking, I'm retired. Let me just tell you, I'm going to steal it from Pastor Randy, my pastor. You don't retire, you refire. There's no retirement from the Lord's work. It may change, it may look different, but you are never off mission. So if you're like, well, I'm finally at the day that I can just rest all day. No, no. I'm not saying you've got to give every minute of every day. But you better thinking Is what I'm doing matter in eternity? What will you hear when this happens, when you stand before the Lord? I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Yeah. And you maybe think, "Oh, you're going to get it." Look. Every one of us will not, you will not be judged by Heath's calling. You won't stand before the Father and be like, "Well, Heath did more than you." I probably didn't. It looks like I do more than you because I stand up here and I have a microphone and I get paid to do Christian stuff. What you're going to stand before the Lord and be judged on is the things that God has called you to. And so you better know what those are so that you can operate in those things. And it could be one person. And you may think, "Well, like this person, like Billy Graham. Hundreds of thousands, millions of people heard the gospel from him." But like, I'm not going to get... I think people that were nobodies, that no one heard their name, got more praise and glory and honor in heaven than Billy Graham. Because they were, hear this, more faithful to the calling. I think Billy Graham had a massive calling. One of our pastors from back home used to always say, it was like, "Man, if God called you to save 10,000 and you save five..." Five sounds really good to everybody in the room, but that was not his calling. His calling was 10. So we need to know what God has called us to on this planet and be eternally focused. Here's some application for us. And this is hard. This right now, like your fists are clenched. Hold loosely to what is temporary. You're thinking, what are you talking about? I mean, just think about how frustrated you would be if something that you treasure here was taken away from you or damaged. Hold loosely to what is temporary. This life, our bodies, our possessions, and even our struggles is only a tent. Don't let temporary things distract you from the eternal home God is preparing. We have to have that mindset. We have to write. No, I'm not going to say that. Somebody's gonna be like, anyway, all right, two sides to a coin. You should write eternity somewhere that you see all the time. You should write it down, put it places that every day you're looking at something that reminds you my eternity is what matters, not my now. Everything can be stripped away. Everything can be taken. Your life can be snuffed out in a second. But I need to understand that I'm here for eternity. I'm doing what I'm doing for eternity, not for the now. Two is let your hope in eternity fuel courage today. I'm going to invite our worship team back up. If you don't have hope in eternity and that it matters, you won't be as courageous as you need to be. And I'm not talking about going to social media and like reposting stuff, which I'm telling you not to do that. But I'm just saying there are things that you need to say to people around you, and they need to be anchored in the truth of who God is. But you need that hope that eternity matters, because what you're going to get probably the majority of the time is rejection at first. And you need to go, "I'm here not for their approval. I'm here not for them to like me. I'm here so that they would know the Father." We groan under life's burdens by faith, but faith lifts our eyes. The Spirit guarantees our future, so we can walk by faith and not give in to despair. And my last thing is live to please Christ, because eternity is real, and because you will stand before the Father and He will judge you based on what you did. One day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That truth should shape our priorities, our choices, and our mission right now. And so here's my last question as I close us today before we go into worship. Is, do you know what you're wearing in eternity? What's your hope for eternity? Are you even thinking about eternity? Because you may think that you have years left. I've talked to people, well, I got plenty of time. Did Charlie Kirk? I mean, you can ride down these roads and die. You could leave today, and I'm not trying to out of fear, but you could leave today and be in an accident. I'm a chaplain for the Leland Police Department. I've done two death notifications, which is not super fun. And they're both young people. Younger than me. And you have no idea. And my call to you is make eternity matter now, because you may not have a choice later. And the one thing that I need you to know is don't make a blind choice to follow somebody you don't know. You need to know enough about who God is so that you're following the right thing. Because sometimes we throw out Christian terms and we're like, yes, I want... I mean, most of us in this room, unless we're just like super weird, not many people are going to be like, send me to hell. Like, don't raise your hand. Like, most people are like, yes, I would prefer heaven. I don't want hell. But we need to understand what it means. This is what Paul was talking about here. We need to understand what it means to be clothed before the Father. And that is our trust and faith in Jesus. Do you know enough about Jesus that you're willing to follow Him? Because you will be challenged by how you follow. Because there will be something that you're going to come up against that you're like, I don't want to give that up. Or I don't want to concede to that. Or I want to believe a certain way. And you have to understand what you're following. And so I'm going to give an opportunity. I'm going to pray. If you'll stand up, I'm going to bless us. At number six, we're going to have a prayer team in the back. I encourage you, don't leave here with the insecurity of, I don't know what's going to happen to me in eternity. I would encourage you before you leave here today, if that's a struggle and you're not just ready to jump on board, is to have a conversation. Find me. There's people with these little yellow badges. They're either elders or staff here at Reach. Have a conversation. If the prayer team is too occupied, find one of us. We'd love to talk to you about the reality of who Jesus is. And what we've been praying as a church is that people will meet Jesus. And a lot more people will meet Jesus if you take Jesus out of these walls. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, there is no peace without you. There is no security without you. We need to understand that you are still the sovereign God working things out to your end. Lord, more than we want answers, we want to know you. And so, Lord, I pray for those in this room that may be struggling with the unknown, things that they don't know about you, that unwillingness to follow somebody they don't know yet. Lord, I pray that you would help them be diligent to discover you, to know you, and to be able to step into, in the future, a trust of who you say you are. Lord, we all want to be clothed now in your righteousness. We all want to be sealed in that guarantee of the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And so, Lord, for those in this room that feel the insecurity, that feel the struggle, Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit afresh. I pray that you would help us with urgency know you so that we can share you and so that our world would be a little less crazy with more people that know you and follow you as Father and Savior. Thank you, Lord. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.